All right, go to John 14, if you would, a familiar passage. Verse 1, written in the red. This is Jesus here. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Verse 5. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Father, bless your word. We just thank you for the month of June, Lord, this summer time that we've entered into this week. Bless our gathering today. We love you good. Father, speak to our hearts, change our lives, we pray in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, amen. So here, Jesus having a little moment with his disciples, talking about the place where he was going. And Thomas, and we love our man Thomas, and sometimes, you know, we call him Thomas, but that's not the totality of his identity. You know, thank God for Thomas. If it weren't for Thomas, India wouldn't have been reached. What do you think about that, Sheila? India would not have been reached. Tara, what do you think? You know, and so he's apostolic, world changer, soul winning Thomas. You know, he's not just doubting Thomas. I mean, we were one place before Christ, but after Christ, we're new creatures, and he transforms us and gives us a new nature. He took Peter, who couldn't stand before a little servant girl, and took Clark Kent from Superman, and he changes us. Thank God for that. But this was before that moment, and Thomas said to the Lord in verse 5, he said, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? We don't know where you're going, so how? Don't know where, don't know how. Don't know where, don't know how. Where, how, where, how, don't know. Don't know, Lord. Just don't know. Remember Jesus told him, I'm going to go up and die, you know, and be handed into the hands of the religious leaders. And Tom said, we'll just go and just die with you, you know. Kind of had a little Eeyore thing there going on for just a short stint of his life. So he said, don't know where, don't know how. So we'll put that on pause for a moment. We have officially, as of this past week, entered summer. It is officially here as of Monday, which was the 20th. Sometimes it's the 20th, sometimes it's the 21st. So this year it landed on the 20th. So I know it's been hot before Monday. But again, officially, according to the calendar, summer is now officially here. I know graduations have come and gone, but officially summer is upon us. And so with the summer season, it's common for people to take trips, to get away, to vacation, et cetera, et cetera. But with any trip, there is a certain level of planning that goes into a trip, whether we like planning or not. How many of y'all by nature are a planner? And you like planning. How many of you don't in particular like to plan? You know, you just kind of like to flow. Let's just flow. Look, I'll pack in the morning. Look, it'll be done. Don't you worry about me. It'll be done in the morning. My suitcase will be in the car. Don't you just worry about your bad self. My suitcase will be there. So, you know, but normally for a trip and of an extended period, there's going to be some level of planning, again, whether we like it or not. And, you know, women, from what I understand, I've been told many times, a lot of the joy of a trip is not merely the trip itself, but anticipating the trip and looking forward to the trip. Now, the trip is great, but again, that's why planning is good, to think about it, to anticipate, and to be just in your mind with your imagination how things are going to go. My mom's a funny woman. We'll be at the beach. We'll be there for a full week, and she'll, on day two, she'll say, 2 days have already gone. I'm saying, you stop that now. Don't you? I mean, she'll, yeah, there's a, you know, 3 days have already gone. It's like, cut that out. But anyway, there's just no getting around the planning of any given trip. And so, you know, depending on your station in life, depending on if you have children, depending if you have pets, just different things will determine what we do. If you do have a pet or a dog, do we board the dog? Anyone ever been to, do we board the dog and put the dog in puppy hotel? You know, we put it in Camp Bow Wow. Well, you know, what do we do with the dog? Will someone stay in the house and house sit or not? What will the trip call for? Inner tubes, floaties, suntan lotion, you know, bigger towels, beach towels. How many of you have been in the first 30 minutes of your trip and you're like, what'd you forget? My charger. How many of you know you're right on the bubble at 30 minutes? That's almost, that's a worth a turnaround. Do we realize that? Some things we can't, you know, do without, you know, air and sunshine, food, water, charger. You know, I mean, how are we going to live at the vacation if we're not wired in? You know, going to be sitting there on the beach and then wired in at the beach. Like, anyway, we're funny folk, are we not? You know, what clothes to bring? What clothes not to take? I mean, you know, there's some things you take, there's some things you don't. You don't take your whole wardrobe. If you're going to the beach, you can leave the, you know, the trench coat at home, right? It was funny, my first missions trip, y'all have heard me say before, was actually with Gene's mother, Caroline Webb, and we went to Australia for, gosh, the better part of a month, but we did training for a whole week in Hawaii. So I had to pack for tropics, and it was winter in Australia during our summer. It was our summer, their winter, so I had to throw everything in there. So that's where that whole phrase, you know, they took everything, you know, but the kitchen sink. So, but maybe sometimes we need to take the sink. Don't know. How long will we be gone? Do we take food? Do you have special foods that you have? And, you know, sometimes people write their name on it. My, you know, and we had this one guy we lived with early on when we were all single living at this White House at Carolina. And he said, someone's been in my food. And then he wrote G-R-R-R-R, grrr, you know. Anyway, do we have special food? Do we travel with food? Does the driver or maybe parents allow that? Before Netflix and before Amazon, any videos to take? Do we need to get the yard cut right before leaving so that it's not a jungle when you return? You know, and it's just like, dear me, woolly mammoth, everything's springing up and the neighbors have left postums on your front door. Deal with your yard, neighbor, you know, neighborhood covenant, you know. So do we get the yard cut right before we leave? Stopping the mail, stopping the newspaper cycle, setting the thermostat, getting the car gassed up, checking the fluids, the tire air pressure, cleaning the car, maybe. If young kids, distractions, toys, packed drinks, bottled water, snacks. Let a few people know you're going to be gone. Leave your schedule. Pay bills ahead of time. Pack traveling pillow. My family, they always bring a pillow and they always bring a blanket because I keep it real cold. Anyone in here had thermostat wars before on a trip? Thermostat wars, I'm telling you, they are the number one source for family breakup on a trip. Thermostat wars, too hot, it's too cold. I'm too cold. I said, we ain't even gotten out of the driveway. What do you mean you're too cold? Hadn't even gotten out of the driveway. When I got back from Guam 14 years ago, you know, it'll living in the tropics, you'll adapt, kind of thin your blood out. And then we had a missionary from the Ukraine that had been freezing who had just come back at the same time. We were in our office in Durham. We'd have thermostat wars. I called him Polar Bear Tom. I was freezing. He was burning up. But anyway, such is the case on a trip. Got to figure out where the happy medium is or bring that blanket. So, you know, traveling pillow, earphones. How many of y'all know earphones are a must? Absolutely. You've got to have your music because nothing is worse than another person's jam. I mean, dear Lord, you call that music? Where's my jam? Let's call earbuds, sweetheart. Get those bad boys in there quickly, you see. Pack books, magazines. Ensure your computer is charged. Pack all your chargers. I mean, that pretty much, have I left anything out here? All right, great. I think one more thing. No, all right. That's pretty exhaustive. But it requires planning. It requires effort. It requires thought. How many of you like me, you love movies? It's easy to preach off. You know, that 1992 popular film, A Few Good Men. You remember Tom Cruise was in the JAG Corps, was an attorney who had plea bargained all of his career, and he actually chose to try a case with the renowned Colonel Jessup. Remember that, the Code Red, and the young William Santiago, for those that have seen the film. I'm sure the movie stock will go up today after we're through with this. But anyway, Tom Cruise, he's going after and he's pounding Jack Nicholson, one of the key incriminating pieces of evidence that Cruise is hammering on to prove that a code red had been ordered and that there was no intent to relocate, move off base, or transfer Marine Private William Santiago is because, well, let's just hear it from Daniel Caffey himself as he's hammering Colonel Jessup. Here's what he said. He's speaking to the judge. He said, "Your Honor, these are telephone records from Gitmo for August the 6th, and these are 14 letters that Santiago wrote in 9 months, requesting, in fact, begging for a transfer. Upon hearing the news that he was finally getting his transfer, Santiago was so excited that you know how many people he called? Zero. Nobody. Not one call to his parents saying he was coming home. Not one call to a friend saying, 'Can you pick me up at the airport?' He was asleep in his bed at midnight, and according to you, Colonel, he was getting on a plane in 6 hours. Yet everything he owned was hanging neatly in his closet and folded neatly in his footlocker. You were leaving, Colonel, for one day, and you packed a bag and made 3 phone calls. Santiago was leaving for the rest of his life, and he hadn't called a soul, and he hadn't packed a thing. Can you explain that?" And then, I mean, he jumps into it with both barrels. I mean, great, great little exchange there. Actual trips require preparation, don't they? They require preparation. It's unavoidable. I saw on Facebook a video this past week that was really cute. This young family and with their little son, he's in the back seat. They had a video camera on the dash, and they were taking him to Colonial Williamsburg. And then as they are about to pull into Colonial Williamsburg, they stop. And all of a sudden, the dad, and this is all being recorded, is looking at his road map. And he goes, "Oh, no, I have made a huge mistake." He said, "I'm so sorry. We're not at Williamsburg. I took a wrong turn. I'm sorry. We're at Disney World." And so they showed his reaction, and they were all jumping, you know, shouting. And the mom gave him, you know, Mickey Mouse ears. I said, "Yeah, that's what they wore back then in Colonial Williamsburg. This is their headgear." But anyway, so it was a lot of fun watching that. They planned the surprise. They planned it well. But let me give you an example of a trip not planned well. And I'm sure everyone here has got their version of Chevy Chase's vacation. But let me give an example of a trip not planned well. This was not a vacation, though. It was a mission church planting trip going to the Philippines back in 1984. And the leader was recruiting those who would hear God to go, and about 30 college students raised their support to go to the Philippines for a month, and they're going to go to Korea from there. And they'd probably be in the Philippines a month. And so the U.S. team, again, would first stop for 1 week in Hawaii to train extensively in evangelism. I mean, it really was genuine, extensive training before they went to make sure everyone was using the same tools, everyone was synced up. So during that week in Hawaii, as you know, Hawaii is a U.S. state, we're connected. The leader, the evangelist, the one that was going to be doing all the preaching, realized, "I don't have a passport." And they're going to be there 1 week, and then from there they're going to go to the Philippines. And he realizes, they had raised their money, 30 people. I mean, no, that's a bad day. But by the grace of God, can you say grace? They scrambled, and thank God he was able to attain a passport and went on to the Philippines, and the ministry was birthed there. But rarely does anyone just hop in a car or board a plane without some measure of prep. may not be fun for the planter it is, but is certainly necessary. Now, summertime. Summertime. Along with whatever trips may be planned, maybe that you have planned, that are on the calendar, do we realize that we can also plan our spiritual journey this summer by daring to outline a few objectives or a few goals? Do we want to go anywhere in particular in God this summer? But like any trip, we want to ask ourselves three questions. First, where do I want to go? How many of y'all would say that's indispensable to going on a trip? Where do I want to go? Secondly, how am I going to get there? Thirdly, what am I going to do? Road trip, great. Where are we going? That's always important. How? What's the mode of transportation? What are we going to do? So where, how, and what? Where, how, and what? And as we mentioned earlier, old Thomas, he wasn't exactly sure about the where or the how. So it's fair to ask ourselves, where do I want to go this summer spiritually? Where do I want to go this summer spiritually? Now, some have already attended and been involved in our leadership boot camp, our School of Empowerment, Supernatural Summer Nights. Those are on Wednesday night. This is the last one that David mentioned. This coming Wednesday night at 7 o'clock will be a great moment. Some have already been on missions trips. And if we want to grow and mature, these are great roadmaps to help us get there. These are great tools to get an upgrade. How many of you know we all need an upgrade? And we're intentional and deliberate about an upgrade, even in the summer. These meetings have been powerful, but there are those that had to plan. There are even those that had to pay. So where do we want to go spiritually this summer? It could be any number of things that God might put on your heart. Only because the rhythms change, sometimes people begin to reprioritize this next couple of months. It's like, I've got a little more time on my hands, or I'm in a different rhythm so I can afford to do ABC, or this is a good season to invest in family, or this is a good season to read more and to go deeper, or this is a good season to reach out to those I know. But what if we wanted to go to a deeper place of understanding grace, for instance? What if we wanted to go to a place of developing more relationships or going deeper with our current ones? What if we wanted to go to a place of developing more self-control or discipline, to grow in discipline? What if we wanted to go to a place of greater purity and holiness, really getting on a track that just really nails that down, a greater consecration for a greater purity and holiness? What if we wanted to go to a deeper level of forgiveness and loving our enemies? Maybe we can find ourselves bogged down and you think, you know, this summer I'm going to go on a trip. I'm going to go on a trip and I'm going to find fresh grace to forgive more freely and to unpack any load and burden I'm falsely carrying. I'm going to be intentional. I'm going to go on a trip and learn what it actually means to bless those who curse me or to pray for my enemies. I'm going to work that muscle a little bit in these summer months. What if we wanted to go to a place of deeper knowledge of God? It's available. What if we wanted to go to a place of truly discovering rest instead of striving? If you feel like, I feel like I'm striving. Well, what does it mean to enter his Sabbath rest? What does that look like? What if we wanted to go to a place of understanding truly our identity in Christ? These are big issues to grapple with. Who am I in the Lord? What does God speak over me? It's what he says that counts, not what the world says, but who am I really? I mean, there's this campaign we're seeing with all these commercials about your family tree. I mean, I don't know the name of them, but all these genealogical searches to find where people come from. And really, that's great. It's good. I've got a family who does that. But if it's searching for, I'm not quite sure who I am, but if I can connect the dots, somehow maybe I'll have a richer meaning. how much more would that apply to who we are in Christ? Are we here? Knowing that that love truly is unfailing. Knowing that we're the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus. Knowing that I'm a son and that I belong at the table. And I'm not just scratching to find a place at the table, but I belong there. And he approves of me. And he's not tolerating me and doesn't just love me by faith. He actually likes me and enjoys me. That I'm his magnificent obsession. That we're the apple of his eye, that we're his bride, that we can relax, we don't have to strive. But knowing who we are and finding those scriptures that paint the image of the picture of whom he's made us to be, that's powerful. These things are trips. They are quests and they are journeys. As we possibly identify a deficit, we could say, you know, over the summer, I'm going to build up that deficit. Oh, here's a gap in the wall. Over the summer, I'm going to close that gap. You know, there's been something I've been meaning to get to. It's on the corner of my desk, but I just hadn't had the time. You know what? This summer, I'm going to go after this area in the grace of God. I'm going to go for it. I'm going to take a trip. I'm going to take a journey. I'm going to plan for this. There are all kinds of destinations we can pick as a spiritual trip this summer. Now, unlike my generation, and the generations that are even older than mine, I mean, this generation, they love to take and create destination weddings. Have you seen this? I mean, this destination, I've seen everything from vows exchanged in the air, skydiving, as you're falling thousands of feet. Don't ask me why. It just had to be different. Trust you me, that's different. I have seen weddings where there have been signals given underwater, 30 feet below the sea level, where, you know, with a full, you know, scuba gear, all kind of things, from going to exotic places to, you know, oh, to be married in a barn, or oh, to be married on the beach, or, oh, to, you know, I mean, it's just, there's just something about that destination. Where do we want to go this summer? Again, normally on a trip, you determine where. Then we count the cost, then we prepare, and off we go. Off we go. Summertime. Not just a time for sleeping late, it's an opportunity. It's an opportunity. We can throw a few things out there. How about developing one new habit? Can you say one? When I was talking to someone the other day, he said, I think I'm going to teach my daughters a language. I said, what? He said, Hebrew. I'm like, all right, go for it, Jethro. You know, wonderful. You know, developing one new habit, cultivating a new hobby. Sometimes you think, yeah, but that's not spiritual. No, everything is created by him and for him. The arts sing of his praise. You know, everything in math, the truth of math comes from God. Not that that might be a hobby you're trying to develop, you know, but at any rate, but you may. I heard a mama over here. All right, so there's something going on there. So anyway, you may want to vary your reading over the summer. You know, when's the last time we've read a good book? Varied reading, but reading well. What might God have you invest reading this summer? Ask him. We don't want to just be arbitrary. We can actually ask God, what do you want me to invest in? I mean, there are great Christian biographies. If you want your world rocked, read a great Christian biography. They are rich. What routine might God call us to cancel out? Maybe we have certain routines that it's not bearing fruit. It's like this is a heavy yoke. Why do I do this? I don't know. We just always done it. You know, just put old Yeller down. Maybe we don't need to just stay with that old routine. You know, we can make judgments on it. Nothing is sacred. Should we increase the margin more in our lives? Or maybe conversely, we have room for a good, healthy challenge. Maybe your issue is, I need more margin. Dear God, give me some margin. You know, I mean, new parents know what that's like. You know, I haven't slept in a month. You know, I need margin. Others are like, you know, I'm pretty well padded and comfortable. I need a challenge. I need something to stretch me. How about if you're right-brained making a demand on the left hemisphere of your brain? Or if you're left-brained picking up something artistic and creative? Where do you want to go spiritually this summer? Secondly, How am I going to get there? How am I going to do it? Car, plane, bus, train, walk, bike, hitchhike? What's the means? What's the method to get there? How am I going to get there? You know, there have been certain days, and this is not due to being, spiritual. No, it has nothing, but there have been certain days where I just wake up and I have an inkling and a desire and an instinct. Take the day and pray. Take the day and pray. Give yourself to prayer today. I mean, we all pray at different levels and all that, but there's some times where we just set aside time. Pull aside today. Other times, I have the desire and the instinct. Pull aside and fast. Consecrate and see what God does. See, this is the how to the where. How we get to where we want to go, you see. I mean, matter of fact, this last 2 weeks has been fairly busy. We were hosting our pastors from Saipan for a whole week. As you know, last week, their son was with us, so we were dropping him off at NC State soccer camp, then rushing out to Durham to go to our leadership boot camp, coming back to get him, and then taking him off to area schools to look at colleges in case he considers relocating, taking them to museums, all of that. So it was morning till night, every day for a full week. And, you know, we had a lot of special meetings that were going on at the same time. Of course, prepping for church, then church last Sunday, then Father's Day, then a wedding that night, then speaking at the School of Empowerment on our day off the next day, then dentist the next day, extended elders meeting the next day, then Jane Hammond that same night, then long board meeting the next day. And then comes Friday, and I had mentioned to my mother that I would come take her out. So my plan is to drive to Wilson, and I'll have 1 hour drive there, be with her, and then 1 hour back. So I was thinking, great, this is going to be a real opportunity. I've got an hour of interrupted alone time where I can get with God. This is going to be wonderful. And so I was looking forward to alone time to pray and be with God. And then about an hour before I leave, I get a call. How many of y'all have ever gotten a call? Do I take it? Do I not take it? Do I take it? You know, it's like, well, that's what voicemails are for. But anyway, my brother was calling, and I was coming out of the store, and he said, hey, I hear you're going to Wilson. Can I come? And I love my brother, but I knew in my spirit I'm supposed to pray. You know, what to do? So I just gently declined, trying to protect that pull to be with the Lord. And he's okay, we're still brothers, all is well, you know. But it was you know, a little bit awkward, but I thought, I've got to champion the how. I've got to protect those little urges. We don't need to get weird about it, but you understand, life happens, right? Life doesn't ask for permission. It crowds in. It comes. And so we have to be intentional. Jesus was intentional. I mean, there'd be a party going on. They'd be out on the dance floor, you know, jamming. And then but no one was looking. He would just kind of slink back. He'd have some priorities he'd have to tend to. You know, he was there at the party, but there were times and seasons where he would withdraw. The scripture says, and it's all through the record of scripture, that Jesus would slip away and go pray. He would withdraw. He would pull away from the crowd as a habit. As a habit. He'd be at the party, but he would also find time to pull away, and he would protect his time of seclusion. He would go up at times on the mountain alone. It was a way of life for him. We read about it, instance after instance after instance. Just a few of these, John 6:15. Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to a mountain, how? By himself. I think that's interesting there. He withdrew, how? Again. What does again infer? He had done this before. He had done that. There he goes again. Where'd Jesus go? He's gone again. Where'd he go? Where'd he go? You know, I got a sick guy over here. Where'd the teacher go? Where's the master? He just kind of flowed out and just kind of slipped from, he'd be up on that mount again. It was a habit. It was a pattern for him. And he would go up there, how? By himself. Can you say by himself? And when we're new at this, it can feel sterile and barren, but the more you do it, the more you long for that friendship with the Lord and that communion with the Lord. It may be a little clunky, awkward at first. You know, you feel like you've prayed for 10 hours and a whopping 5 minutes has gone by, you know. But as we get in the routine of it, the grace begins to follow. So this was habit for him. And of course, right after he was up on that mountain in John 6, it's amazing, right after that secluded time of prayer, it's no mystery that when his disciples had gotten in the boat and had gone over to the other side, that out of that context of being alone, he comes down, they had already gone, so he said, well, I'll just catch up with him. And he just, you know, wave walker, he just walking on the water, you know, like, goes, Casper, what's the deal going on here? Jesus walking on the water because he had been up there. He had protected that time. No mystery why the power. No mystery why the miracle. No mystery why the quality of life. Because he protected it. He knew where he wanted to go. Ultimately, he was going to go to the cross, but he knew he couldn't do it without the how. I've got to have help from the Father to do the will of the Father. I know where I want to go. But how am I going to get there? I've got to put on worship. I've got to get that word. I've got to have the fellowship of believers. I've got to have that time of reprieve before the Lord. So this, again, was habit for him. No mystery while things began to happen, you see. Also, Mark 3, 13 through 15. It says, Jesus went up on a, let's just read this. Jesus went up on a mountainside and called to him those he wanted. And they came to him. And he appointed 12, designating them apostles that they might be with him. And then he might preach them, or he might send them out to preach and to have authority over demons. And so it says, he went up on a mountain. And then when he met with the Father, he got the revelation of who to call as his 12. How did he know who to call? He had been with the Father. And out of that context, then by revelation, God was, he didn't do anything he didn't hear the Father say. Didn't say anything he didn't hear the Father say, do anything he didn't see the Father do. But the Father was appointing. There's Peter. You know, there's Bartholomew. You know, there's this one. There's this one. Appoint them. Call them. Appoint them. Due to the mountain, we see. The vertical produced the horizontal. Also, Matthew 15, 29 and 31. Says, Jesus left there and went along the Sea of Galilee. Then he went up on a mountainside and sat down. Great crowds came to him, bringing the lame, the blind, the crippled, the mute, and many others, and laid them at his feet, and he healed them. The people were amazed when they saw the mute speaking, the crippled made well, the lame walking, and the blind seeing. And they praised the God of Israel. So again, he went up. He went up. Can you say he went up? Mark 1:35, very early in the morning, while it was still dark. Can you say dark? Oh, Lord, how we hate that word, don't we? While it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to what? A solitary place where he what? Where he prayed. And then Matthew 14, 13 and 14. This is after the death of his cousin, John the Baptist, verse 13, when Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. So again, he would pull aside. He withdrew by boat. He went privately. Where? To a solitary place. Luke 5, 16. But Jesus often withdrew. How often? Often withdrew to what? Lonely places and prayed. What does lonely places mean? In other words, it's the opposite of the party. In other words, there's a place for the party. There's a place for feasting. There's a place for fasting. But he often did this. He would be there interacting. He wasn't trying to be monastic. He wasn't trying to be odd or spiritual. But there were just times he would just slip away, not draw attention to himself, didn't beat a drum. He's exiting now. Dun, dun, dun. No. Where are you going? I'm going to pray. What are you doing? You know, he didn't draw, you know, he just felt that pull and he would just slip away. And there's ebb and flow, we understand that. But he withdrew, sometimes by boat, other times by going up on the mountain, other times by just finding a solitary place, other times he would go ahead of his disciples. They were going to go somewhere to another village, another town, and he would just go out ahead of them. Was he being antisocial? No, he just needed to get his thoughts clear. He just wanted that communion, you see, with the Father. So there's a price to gaining more of God, the how. So if we know where we want to go on a trip, then secondly, we have to ask the question, how will I get there? See, Jesus protected the how. What regimen will we use? What recipe? What schedule? What time adjustment? What lifestyle tweak? What reprioritizing? What new discipline? What new grace do we want to enter into? What vehicle will get me from here to there? There, meaning where I want to go. And then on the third question, what am I going to do? I was thinking about this, about two fronts on this. Obviously, what are you going to do when you're there? But I was also thinking even more, what are you going to do as the result of having taken the trip? Having taken the trip, what are you going to do after the experience? After you've come back, what then? How many of y'all have come back from a trip of some kind and you just feel full? You just feel sad. You ever gone on a trip, you come out, you just feel satisfied, like you had a good meal. You know, you just feel full just by switching it up and by doing something different and changing up the rhythm, and you felt broadened, or maybe you felt enriched. Maybe you were visiting something, you know, historic or historical, and you came back just, man, that was rich. Ooh, I just feel full. Have you ever done that, or am I the only one? All right. Two. Wonderful. All right, the rest of you, take a trip before you go on to be with the Lord one day. But anyway, it's common many times to, you know, you just feel, there's kind of an afterglow, as it were, from where you've been. And, you know, people come back and they start, you know, after a trip, they start organizing their pictures, you know, all 95, you know, all of a sudden they begin to, or they start cropping them and posting them, you know, on Facebook. Some scrapbook, others invite people over to share their experience. People talk about it. They talk about it again as if they're in this afterglow. I mean, my niece just got back from Paris, and we were out at dinner with Catherine. She goes, "You got to come over to my house." I thought, we just got to talk about it for no. You got to come on. You got to come. You know, you got to come over. You know, I got to tell you again. You know, and I got to show you some things. And I want to show you the pictures, you know. And I would think, well, we'll see them when they come out, you know. No, I got to show you. In other words, she brought some of Paris with her here to Raleigh, North Carolina. Oh, she was full. She was still kind of gleaning from the experience, you see. Some go over the trip and chronicle it or journal it, put it in a travel log. But it appears the constant in good trips, where value is truly added, that people eagerly want to share their experience. They want to share. They want to talk about it. In other words, they give it away and they loop others in. There's a joy and a fullness. There's an overflow. And you know what? That's a good thing. That's a good thing. It's instinctive to just want to loop others in. I got to just share with you what happened. Or someone goes to a conference. I just got to tell you what I heard. I want you to look at my notes. It's the same with God. Once you've taken your summer journey, your spiritual journey, you broaden the circle by sharing what God did, what God taught you, what was imparted to you, what you learned. You know, it's interesting. When you're full of food, you'll share it. When you're not quite full, it's kind of like a dog at a bowl, you know, it's kind of, there's a little, someone says, can I have that? Well, I don't know. Let me think about it, you know. And, I mean, I do it all the time. I'll have a plate full, and I'll be looking across the table. You going to eat that? And they're like, what you got right in front of you? When you are full, it's easy to share, is it not? When you're full, we give it away. And I think there's a principle there. I mean, Michael this morning sharing, I mean, he was full. I stepped out, I trusted God in an area, and lo and behold, look at what God did. I'm full. I'm going to give it away. I love that, you see. It's instinctive. It's only natural. We can take our mountaintop experience and we can walk into the valley and give it away, and we can breathe on others. When you've gone on a spiritual trip, you're in a new orbit, and you have new grace to give away. You have a new perspective. When Jesus went up on the mountain, he met with God. Yes. But then after that, we just went through it. But then he walked on water. But then he called and chose the 12. But then he healed the cripple and all those that were sick and afflicted. And he performed miracles among them. Why? He was full. He was full. What will we do with our experience? What will we do with our summer trip in God? You will enrich and make life better for others. That's what we'll do. We'll add value. We'll minister life. We'll be a giver and not merely a taker. We'll offer our life and open ourselves up. We'll come off that mountain different. We'll take our high and bring it into other people's lows. Did you hear that? We'll take our high, whatever we learned on our, quote, trip, and bring it into other people's lows. And we won't the converse to happen to us as well, that if we're feeling like we're in a valley, we want someone to bring their high and minister it to us to get our water level up. Are we here? And that's that mutual building in, encouraging one another daily as long as it is called today. So again, where are you going this summer? How will you get there? And then what are you going to do with it? What are we going to do with it once we've gone there and once we've partaken? Summer's an interesting time. It's a great time. Rhythms change. Just bring this season to the Lord. No one's looking over your shoulder, and just say, God, what kind of a spiritual trip would you have me take? And again, there could be some things you wanted to get to, you just couldn't. But the change of rhythm is going to afford opportunities. And we can be deliberate and we can be intentional. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you are a God of seasons. You've ordained the seasons. Lord, you created the ebb and the flow. Now, Lord, as this week, as of Monday, as we have officially entered into the season of summertime, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for what it provides. And I just ask you that you would just help us with ample preparation to identify what you might be wanting to add to our diet, as it were. Lord, just give us the courage to identify it and to prep for it. Now just in your heart, as we're just praying, just wait on the Lord. Just ask him in your heart, God, is there a spiritual trip? Something you want me to embrace? Is there something you want me to discard and cut out? But is there something you want me to add to the diet this summer? If you feel like you've heard something, just raise your hand while we're just praying. Anyone, you feel like you've heard something? It doesn't have to be grandiose, and it doesn't have to be sensational. It could be just very mundane. It could be something you consider small. But just a little tweak, an adjustment, something added, maybe something removed. Let's stand up together. Father, we ask you to give us the where. We ask you, Lord, to help us to apply the how and the what. And Lord, I thank you that as we're courageous enough to take the risk to be intentional, Lord, I believe we're going to be able to measure growth in our personal lives based on the where, the how, and the what. Now bring the application you want for everyone here, giving you something to work with. Lord, again, I thank you for Michael's story. Lord, I just pray there'd just be multiple stories of people that took a trip in God and came back and were full and then just gave it away, bragging on that new found grace. In the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord. Amen. Well, God bless you today. Let's have a great...